I'm Christopher Granger from Duke University, and I'm delighted to have a discussion with Melissa McGuire, who's a nurse practitioner, has been a leader for the American College of Cardiology, and specifically in the area of cardiometabolic care and incorporating the advances in understanding about how to optimally treat patients with diabetes and cardiovascular disease. And Melissa is the program director for the Cardiometabolic Center Alliance, which is a very important initiative to spread the model of how we can organize this care across the United States. Welcome, Melissa.
Hi, thanks, Chris.
Melissa, maybe you could just provide a bit of your perspective on why this is important, and particularly why this concept of the cardiometabolic center and organizing care around care pathways in clinics is such an important opportunity.
Sure, that's a great question. And, you know, I spent my professional career, most of it in diabetes, adult endocrinology. I'm a certified diabetic educator as well as a clinician, and started actually my training in cardiology and saw that so many of my patients with diabetes were having the bad outcomes cardiovascular that we try to prevent, that switched my focus ultimately to prevention and working within diabetes. And even though we've made incredible strides over the last 10 to 15 years with the types of tools and advancements and medications that we have, we're still not seeing a downtick in cardiovascular complications in the setting of diabetes. And diabetes and heart disease continues to be a huge burden, not only cost, but physical burden to both the patients suffering with it and our healthcare system. And so really looking at somehow reorganizing the care so that we can ensure that the tools are being applied in the right way to the right types of patients, I think, is just key to finally making huge strides in decreasing that burden.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. And so you thought as much as anybody, especially at this critical level of the advanced practice provider, the nurse practitioner, the PA, who's become such a key part of standardizing care in our clinics. What's your advice then for cardiologists or for advanced practice providers who are trying to do this kind of thing, trying to set up a center with care pathways? How would you advise they move forward on that?
Well, it may sound a little cliche, but it really does take a team effort. And, you know, you can't think of a better team leader than an advanced practice provider in the setting of a clinic such as a cardiometabolic clinic, where some of that expertise on patient motivating interviews and patient behaviors, you know, as well as knowing the pharmacological treatments and guidelines and protocols, but really having that team approach and allowing a little extra time with the patient that sometimes comes with the APP or the physician assistant, and someone who can really spearhead or coordinate the care. We also have the approach in the local center that I work in of having nurse navigators as a key member of the team. So involving diabetic nurse educators, pharmacists, nurse navigators, and then having that team lead be a nurse practitioner or physician assistant has really seen our model grow locally. And something that we're hoping to kind of copy on a national level as well.
Great. So you gave a list of some of the key members. Let's say a cardiologist who's listening to this wants to get more involved and systematic about this. Can a cardiology clinic do this? Or does a diabetes care specialist or an endocrinologist need to be involved? What's the leadership that you think is needed for this type of approach?
Actually, the unique thing about this approach is that it can happen in any type of care setting. We've been talking with potential partners that are in primary care settings, that are in preventative cardiology settings like I am myself, or within an endocrinology office. The model that we see primarily coming to the forefront is that preventative cardiology, but with the caveat that they're involving either peripherally or as maybe a potential partner, someone with a good foundation in diabetes management, be that an APP or a CDE or even an endocrinologist that can be there to kind of bounce things off of. But it definitely does not have to take place within endocrinology and is very well suited for that preventative cardiology clinic with someone that maybe potentially has a love or a passion for the diabetes realm of it as well, because the two conditions really do fit hand in glove together.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as we've talked about before, somewhere between a third and a half of all our patients who have atherosclerotic heart disease, heart failure, also have diabetes. So every cardiologist, I think, to be doing a good job in general cardiology needs to have some expertise. But as you point out, our problem is that in spite of that, we haven't been successful at systematically applying these effective therapies, partly because of lack of kind of a coordinated effort that you're so thoughtful and dedicated to developing. Melissa, specifically with respect to these drugs, the SGLT2 and the GLP-1 receptor agonists, what are some of the elements of your cardiometabolic center concept address how to safely and effectively use those drugs?
Yeah, I think that the practitioners in general are very well versed in the cardiovascular outcome trials. They know the benefits. They know what to expect as far as outcomes when using these drugs. But I think the key has been someone to kind of help manage patient selection. And then basically it's the day-to-day operations of how to get the prescription written. And more so, it's the how to keep patients adherent with the proper education, and then ways to mitigate any potential side effects or adverse events. And that's really key to that, to adherence and practitioner comfort with these medications, because overall, they're very safe medications to use, but there is some education that needs to be done and proper patient selection, and then just simple mitigating protocols, such as when using SGLT2 inhibitors, really touching on genital hygiene and signs and symptoms of dehydration. With the GLP-1 receptor agonist, really reminding folks to eat smaller meals, to watch out for constipation due to delayed gastric emptying. And if you hit these topics head on, you're going to find far less of that occur and far less time and attention needed from the practitioner. Also, how to potentially mitigate any potential hypoglycemia that may occur if they are on either sulfonylureas or insulin. So it's those day-to-day key sort of aha moments that we have found out using them in practice that we like to share with other practitioners who may not be as well versed in using these drugs that really seem to make the difference.
Yeah, good. And finally, Melissa, so a key part of this is care pathways and algorithms and that kind of thing. And the American College of Cardiology has some terrific reviews in the literature on this. Where do you send people to help them to develop their care pathways for their cardiometabolic clinic?
Well, I'm a little partial to the ACC because I'm one of the authors on the consensus pathway for type 2 and cardiovascular outcomes. But I do think that they have very thoughtfully outlined that. And we do have the next version coming out shortly on that. A very common sense, but evidence-based, scientific-based platform of how to proceed with prescribing these drugs in this patient population. So I do think the ACC and then looking at guidelines such as AHA, ADA, and even ESC are helpful as far as looking at patient selection.
Well, that's terrific, Melissa. Thanks so much for sharing some of your practical advice and knowledge. And we're particularly excited about your leadership in this Cardiometabolic Center Alliance, and we'll look forward to the information and the models that you will be sharing with all of us to improve care of this important population of our patients.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you, Melissa.